Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Radio.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage. We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Radio.
Windy City Radio.
Windy City Radio.
Windy City Radio.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. Windy City Radio is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aavacations.com/rainbow. And LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
If you've been walking through this lane, put your head in your head, thinking of a master.
And you're here with us on Windy City Radio. This is Peter Maverick, the queer in your ear.
And I'm Lennox McGee. Nice to talk to you, Peter.
Good to chat with you, Lennox. How are you this evening in this glorious Memorial Day weekend?
I am so hot. The temperature outside is so hot. I'm sweating right now.
Finally, though.
I know.
I'm so happy that summer is making itself known. This has been a great Memorial Day weekend so far. It's not even really half over. I guess it's sort of half over.
Yeah, but it came at such a surprise, though. I woke up this morning, I was like, 82 degrees.
Like, who? What?
What's going on here?
What? What's happening? Yeah, I've had the air on for 48 hours, which officially means that summer is here. What a big week and what a big weekend it is. Let's work backwards. So this weekend is IML weekend. There
are right.
Leather boys running around everywhere. I went to the Leather Mart with some friends and we audio recorded the entire experience.
No way.
Yeah, I had my little iRiver and we recorded it. So if you visit us at WindyCityQueercast.com,
you can see Peter in his leather outfit.
You can hear. No, you can just hear. It's audio only. So it's really us having drinks and going, oh my God, girl.
Look at that leather daddy.
Girl, what does she have? Oh, is that real? Oh, touch it. Is that? Yeah, it's kind of funny.
How was it? Was it fun?
It was really an intense experience. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, the IML Leather Mart. We went. They have it at the Palmer House this year. It's a big
the Palmer House,
at the Palmer House. So you're standing with all these half-clad boys, kind of in leather, boys and girls. Actually, it's a worldwide event, and there's these beautiful, you know, tapestries everywhere and things like that. But it was really cool. It's fun to see that whole side of culture really come out and just be right on State Street. You know, we're right there.
Right, exactly.
Way out of the closet.
We're queer, we're leather.
Right, exactly, right there. A little before then, we had the American Idol ending this
Taylor Hicks won. You know, I don't really like him.
No, I
don't
either.
I wanted the other girl to win.
I did too.
I thought she was so much better than you know, Taylor. So
yeah, he did have this sort of charisma thing, but honestly, when Prince came out, I forgot what show we were watching.
Prince was so hot.
It was just, and those women with the hair with the flip.
I know.
They were doing this dance where they would rush up, fling their hair around, and then sing cheek to cheek in the same microphone.
Very Tina Turner.
It was very hot. I was like, what show are we watching? Is this Solid Gold? And it kind of was, because Dionne Warwick came out a little later on.
Oh, and God. Didn't she look crazy, though?
She did.
Her makeup was awful.
She had been talking to Whitney. They've been shopping. They've been shopping together.
Shopping in quotes.
Shopping, yeah. At the top, we just heard, actually, coming into this, we heard Better Days by Hill Street Soul. They're a wonderful R&B band from the UK. We never get to hear UK R&B.
And I never heard of them before either. So this is they sounded really good, actually.
Good stuff. It's in this week's Night Spots. Definitely check it out. We have a wonderful show for you guys tonight. We're going to have James Ursini, who is the co-author of a wonderful book called The Modern Amazons, Warrior Women on Screen. We're going to talk to him at the top of the hour. And we also, in continuing with our queer casting series, we have Wanda Wisdom from Lucky Bitch Radio, who's now with Lavender Media. You're giggling. You're like,
she just sounds smart. Wisdom.
Wanda Wisdom. She knows.
She knows everything.
She knows. So we're going to have Wanda later on in the show. And folks, we want to tell you that the June 3rd is the Windy City Gay Idol semifinals at Sidetrack.
And it's getting pretty hot.
It is.
These guys are like bringing it full force.
Totally on it. There's 21 people this year.
No way.
In the semifinals. So please come out. So the boys at Sidetrack, Chuck and all them, are taking good care of us. They don't do anything small. If you know Sidetrack at all, you know they don't do anything small.
It's huge. And I heard you're going to be able to see all the singers on the TV screens, yeah, which is going to be pretty awesome.
I was hearing video cameras and high production. You know, these queens don't play.
They're going to be American Idol.
Chicago style. Seriously, right. We're doing it Windy City style. We really and truly are. There's going to be so much good stuff going on. We're, of course, going to have your tip of the week a little later on in the show, as well as we're going to be giving away two pairs of tickets to Pride Fest in Milwaukee, which is June 9th and 10th, which has this stellar lineup of En Vogue, Margaret Cho, Berlin, and so many little...
I miss En Vogue.
Don't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, they're coming back. I think I've heard rumors of good stuff on the horizon. So.
That's good.
I miss all four of them. I mean, I wish it was still all four of them because the harmonies were a little bit better, live especially. But now that there's still three of them, I'm still happy because Maxine is my girl. She was always the thick one and she's my girl. And anytime I do drag, I mean, anytime I sing,
right.
I sing in the bathtub, Maxine's part.
We cannot leave radio without talking about Oprah's Legend Ball. Which Patti LaBelle two up.
Really?
The Sunday brunch and gospel singing.
Oh my God.
She tore it up. She was...
You know her breath smelled like fried chicken or something like that when she was singing. Because Oprah doesn't play. Was it here in Chicago?
Actually, no. It was in her California home, which looks like the White House.
Okay, in her California... excuse me. It was in her California
She
home.
Starts
really?
Out the whole Oprah Legends Ball. Like, I'm standing in front of my lawn, which is like this huge, like acres and acres of lawn.
Oh my God.
Looks like the White House in the background. And she's like, she's so pompous. I love Oprah.
She is. Well, you know what? The only thing, Oprah, she's a wonderful force. She's a big power to have out there. The only critique I have is that, Oprah, you don't always get it all.
And it always comes back to her.
Right.
Every interview.
Right. You don't always get it all.
Oh, I've been raped too.
Oh my God. But that's the only critique I have of Oprah. But I still love her.
Yeah,
I love
she's glorious.
All the people that hoppos because they right over there.
right around
the corner over there by the wishbones. And you can see the Harpo's employees eating there. So, well, folks, in just a moment here, we're going to tell you a little bit more about what's coming up in the theater. And to let you know, we're going to have James Ursini with the Modern Amazons, the Warrior Women on Screen, coming up next.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
This is Sunday, May 28th, 2006, and you are in the Culture Club.
The team that brought Chicago the critically acclaimed, sold-out 2005 musical, The Wild Party, one of Time Out's top 10 shows of 2005, is back to bring this exciting, poignant, and completely bizarre carne world to light. Sideshow, a musical of freakish proportion, playing through July 9th. For tickets to Sideshow, call Theater Building Chicago at 773-327-5252. Call now, as it's sure to sell out soon. Come look at the freak and don't miss out on the musical experience on the summer.
Okay.
Of summer.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Power by Nick Deer in a limited run now through June 5th at Victory Gardens. The Chicago Tribune calls it smart, sexy, a sterling American premiere. The Chicago Sun-Times says Power is more effervescent than champagne and more decoratively gilt-edged than Versailles mirrors. For more information, call 773-871-3000 or visit Remy Bumpo, that's remybumpo.org.
That's quite a description. Indulge in a thrilling story of love, lies, betrayal, and espionage with the world premiere adaptation of The Duchess of Malfi, now on stage at Writers Theater. According to the Windy City Times, the recipe is three parts blood, two parts lust, and one part deceit, all served on a skewer in this classic Jacobin revenge tragedy by John Webster. Seek no redemption here, just excess of passion, gore, and a strong streak of very dark comedy. For more, log on to Writers Theater. Writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
The About Face Theater presents the play the New York Times calls the most intriguing new show of the summer. Mary Beth Peel in Monsieur Proust, written by Tony Award winner Mary Zimmerman and directed by Eric Rosen. Eric Rosen, that great name, he does such great work. The creative team behind the landmark production of 11 Rooms of Proust reunites for this spellbinding exploration of Marcel Proust's secret life as seen through the eyes of his devoted housekeeper and confidant. Performances start June 9th at Steppenwolf's Upstairs Theater, a great space. For tickets, call 312-335-1650 or visit aboutfacetheater.com.
And Peter from World Culture Club, see Windy City Times.
Yes.
Jay
June 9th, 10th, and 11th on Milwaukee's Lakefront. PrideFest and PrideFest.com. Welcome. Invo. DHT. Berlin. Martha Wash. Bow Wow Wow. And the world-famous comedian, Margaret Cho.
I went on a gay cruise. 3,000 gay men on a ship, and everybody gotta be Kate Winslet.
Invo. DHT. Berlin. Martha Wash. Bow Wow Wow. And the world-famous comedian, Margaret Cho. Brought to you by Potawatomi Bingo Casino and Miller Lite, the official beer of PrideFest. Bring your mind. Visit PrideFest.com now.
And we're back on Windy City Radio.
I'm Lennox Tantern.
Hey, Lennox, I'm Peter Maverick, the queer in your ear. Folks, the modern Amazons, warrior women on screen, documents the public's seemingly insatiable fascinating with warrior women archetype in film and on television. The book examines the cautious beginnings of new roles for women in the late 50s, the rapid development of female action leads during the burgeoning second wave feminist movement in the late 60s and 70s, and the present day onslaught of female action characters now leaping from page to screen everywhere you can see. We're joined tonight by co-author of The Modern Amazons, Warrior Women on Screen, James Orsini. James, how are you this evening?
Yes, hi. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for joining us so
sure,
much.
Sure, great. I hear you just got a little bit of heat there. Same here in Los Angeles. We got our first
heat. So hot here, James.
Man, it's ushering in the summer in a great way.
Yeah, here too.
And what a great way to usher in the summer with this book. Man, I was so addicted to flipping through it right away, let me tell you. Because not only are there pictures, it's amazing how I see this. It's both the documentation of the warrior women archetype, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. It's the documentation of what's going on, but then you look at the trends and the themes and everything that's jumping out of that. Was that intentional from the beginning of the project to both document and sort of examine and explore the social context?
Yeah, that was always it from the beginning. I should say first off that Dominique Manon, it originally is her idea.
Mm-hmm.
As you can read in the preface, it came out of a few years ago where she was diagnosed with breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
and she started thinking of different sort of empowering images, and the whole issue of the Amazon and, you know, the history behind it and the myth
mm-hmm.
behind it. She started looking into that, and also the myth, of course, dealing with what inspired it was, of course, the whole myth regarding that the Amazons originally were supposed to cut off one breast in order
correct.
To become better archers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole played into the whole mastectomy and all of that. So I have to say that this is all basically her idea, but its concept was always to be sociological and cultural as well as to be fun to look at. I mean, we always envisioned it to have, you know, 200-300 pictures in it, and I think now it has something like 400 and some.
It's huge.
That's
a nice big thick size.
How long did it take you guys to finish the book?
Say again?
How long did it take you guys to finish the book?
It was begun probably a year and a half ago. So we took about a year to write it. The research, there was a tremendous amount of research, obviously, because
mm-hmm,
we had to re-see
right.
a lot of the movies
right.
And find a lot of them. And then Dominique did a lot of the sociological and cultural research in terms of the myth of the Amazon, the myth of warrior women and so forth. So it was probably a year. It could have been a little bit longer than a year, actually, in the research and collecting of material and the actual writing of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, James, you have you seem to have a background in film writing to begin with. How did you get involved in the program or in the book?
I've been writing books and film for about 20 years now. I've produced and edited or co-written
mm-hmm.
or written on my own probably 25 books. Different genres. Film noir is probably what I'm most famous for,
right.
and vampire film, and mostly examining films in terms of the cultural context, and that's how I got involved with it, because she sort of, I had known her through research that we'd done on other books and been involved with, and she asked me to bring that knowledge to the subject. Because of the extensive knowledge I had. I began it in film school. I went to film school at UCLA. And, I wrote my first book on Preston Sturges around the late 70s. It was the first book on the director, Preston Sturges, comedy director at Paramount. And from then on, I over the years of, as I said, produced a whole score of books with other people, including Alan Silver, on various subjects of film. And so I also had an interest in this subject matter, too, because anything that deals with a genre, whether it's a vampire film or film noir, and this is a genre, really, warrior women, I've always had an interest in studying.
Well, I think it seems to be a genre with multiple subgenres.
Right.
It, that there are so many different facets. Can you talk a little bit about, you said you had to go back and see so many of these movies. That must have been just an amazing journey on its own, even if you weren't writing about them. I mean, to dive back and see this whole thing. Where do you start?
Well, we tried to get a sort of a grasp on it by looking at where the first warrior women films would appear. And there's very little before 1970. Mm-hmm. You know, I went back and even into silent films, and really the only ones you can deal with that deal with the subject at all are Joan of Arc films, mm-hmm. like with Ingrid Bergman and the earliest ones. That is a subject that was always sort of safe, that the movie industry, which is basically dominated by men,
sure.
felt safe in dealing with because, you know, she was a saint and she was a martyr and all this stuff. So it makes her sort of safe.
Good myths.
Yeah. And so that's really the only thing you find. You find a few others. So, I mean, it was an attempt to see what happened. And then in the 50s, there was a strange little explosion, and that had to do mainly with exploitation film.
Right.
The 50s exploitation films became very big, like people like Roger Corman and
things
like that. And so in science fiction and you know, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman mm-hmm. and films like that, Wasp Woman and stuff like that, they began to make more inroads in terms of those films because they were allowed a little more leeway because it was exploitation, you know.
Right.
And plus the production code, which dominated films and said what you could have and what you couldn't have, was starting to weaken. And so we began to see more and more that way. And then finally by the 70s with the rise of feminism, which is really what was the significant change, that sort of began to burst forth with, you know, television, Wonder Woman and mm-hmm. Charlie's Angels, and then still in exploitation films, things like I Spit on Your Grave or Day of the Woman.
That's
all
right.
of these things
mm-hmm.
began to emerge by the 70s and then became a sort of steady stream. And until the last 10 years, it's just become huge. I mean, in the last 10 years, if you look at the filmography in the back,
it's enormous to begin with.
Yeah. Well, it's an enormous filmography, and it still is not complete because it would take two volumes to complete everything. Because if you include things like Hong Kong films, for instance, if you go worldwide and you include Hong Kong films, we didn't even touch the surface on that because they'd been making warrior women films probably since the 60s and sometimes into the 50s.
Yeah, from the Japanese films that I do know, there were quite a few over on that side of the pond as well.
Oh yeah. Well, particularly Hong Kong with all the kung fu films.
Sure, absolutely.
And a lot of them had females who you know, practiced kung fu in the earliest days or different martial arts. Not as much as today, but at least to some degree.
Mm-hmm. You talked about the selection process that it would take another volume. Is that planned? Are you considering?
At this point. Okay. We're working on a couple other books right now, and so no, not at this point. I mean, anything's possible.
Right.
We're not considering it at this point.
Right. So, do you see this? Is this a book? You would say this is just entertainment, or is this? Do you want this to be a point in history? I mean, do we want to put this in the classroom? What for you personally? What side did you take to it, or did you take a side?
No, I mean, I think it's both. I mean, I've written books that are more oriented towards the classroom.
Uh-huh.
I did a series of film noir called Film Noir Reader, which
right.
is used in most universities. And that was very academic. This, we tried not to be as academic. I mean, obviously, if you're doing cultural analysis, you have some citing of sources and so forth. But we tried to make the text as friendly as possible, as user-friendly as possible. So it's more of an entertainment book. I mean, you can tell that by the number of stills,
well,
number
absolutely.
Of photographs. I mean, when you have this many photographs and they're that, you know, attractive photographs,
right.
Enticing photograph, then you're obviously going through for a larger, more mainstream audience than an academic
right.
text.
And I think the most enticing thing to me was sort of, oh, there's a great picture of a movie, and then to read the text on it and to click not only into when I saw the film or what I thought about the film, but then to click into some sort of historical reference or what was going on in the world at that time. It's amazing how it all weaves together. It means that I spent 4 hours with it just, oh my God. And then I remember this, and then I remember this, and just flipping consistently through it. I love that there are chapters that, for instance, there's almost like a Kill Bill chapter where it goes through the significance of that movie and what's around it. How did you filter movies to choose what was going in and what was not going to make the cut?
We made up lists initially, and we tried, in terms of the book, we tried to deal just with ones which were saying something about society or were sort of so significant because everyone knew them that they had to be included. And then we included in the filmography films that maybe didn't make the cut of talking about in the text or maybe just a one-line reference to it and put it in the filmography. And so there were like maybe two levels. There were the ones that got real text treatment, and then there were ones where sort of shunted off to the filmography. Really, if it was a very popular and significant movie in terms of its popularity, then obviously it had to be included. I mean, you couldn't do a book like this without having Xena in it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
The extreme exactly. popularity of the show. But also we dealt with things that were culturally significant. In the first chapter, there's a lot of exploitation movies. In the last chapter, also, you know, even things like Russ Meyer's films and so forth. Mm-hmm. Because, not necessarily because they were good films necessarily, or even made tons of money, though Meyer's films did make money in terms of how much they cost.
Right.
But because they said a lot about society and women's images and women's roles, and particularly that of the warrior woman, or in Russ Meyer's films, you know, particularly, or the Ilsa films, She Wolf of the SS.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very few people have ever dealt with those films. Because they're so transgressive. I mean, they're just totally transgressive movies. And people just are offended by the whole concept. But the question is, why are they offended by it? I mean, why is the violence that Ilsa does in those movies more offensive than violence that, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger mm-hmm. does in his movies, or, you know, or
the
Sylvester Stallone does in his
right.
movies, or, you know, in any action movie dominated by a man? I mean, you know... Well, I think the answer is because these are the Ilsa films. It's a really dominant woman performing her acts mainly against men, and
right.
I think that's just unacceptable. Those films were just, if you try to, I mean, there's very little written about those movies.
Mm.
So anyway, films like that were maybe not known by more people, like the Ilsa films, we dealt with them because they said something about, you know, gender relations and also about the woman's role in society and so forth.
So at the end of the day, this has sort of been for you, it seems, a turn into sort of writing about a different genre than maybe you've been, or not even a genre, because I think it's hard to call a warrior woman on screen sort of a genre, although it sort of is. There's so many subgenres to it. Who stands out at the top of your list historically?
Well, that's really hard. I mean, I would have to say that the Xena series was probably one of the starting points
mm-hmm.
because it was extremely significant, and it has a huge fan base, and it really influenced all of the warrior women films to follow it.
Mm.
That and probably Buffy. Buffy
right.
the Vampire
oh, Buffy, definitely. Yeah,
they both gave great impetus to the last wave of warrior women films from in the 90s into this new century.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that those, even though they're TV shows and not actually movies, that probably had more influence than anything. And then you'd have to deal also, you know, you couldn't give short shrift to things like Alien.
Mm-hmm.
The Alien series and the Terminator series, because of the female character in that, those obviously had a lot of influence too. So those would be among my favorites, but favorites not necessarily in terms of what I'd see and see again, but in terms of I think important ones,
the significance of their position. Yeah,
yeah, because I think that they had a lot of influence on what the look of the warrior woman, the characterization of Warrior Woman, and the fact that the Warrior Woman became not just an acceptable thing in modern movies, but a necessity. I mean, right. You almost cannot make an action film anymore. If the main star is a male,
that's true.
Without a Warrior Woman in some, even if it's a villainous.
Right.
You know,
in some capacity.
I defy you to name one nowadays that doesn't have one at some point. And that's because of the demand on the public to see this.
Absolutely.
Even in TV series now with Alias and all these other shows, women superheroes or women warriors are
definitely
popping up.
Definitely the power.
Right, yeah. They're extremely important. And as I said, even if the star of the show or the movie is a male, there's always a female who fits into the Warrior Woman mode, who is either somehow joined with him or against him in some way.
Absolutely. Well, James Ursini, co-author of the book The Modern Amazons, Warrior Women on Screen, thank you so much. You can find this book virtually everywhere.
Yeah, it's at most retail bookstores. And if you can't, you can always go to AmadeusPress.com, and they have copies there you can buy, too.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining
us, James.
And thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be back here in just a moment.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk, or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having coffee.
Tirelessly you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob, all in spectacular shades of green.
Green, green, green.
Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest with a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dressed to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker, because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you, parents. We hope you enjoyed the fifth graders' orchestra recital.
What if wherever you went, you got more than you were expecting?
Hi, Daddy!
Hey, thanks for watching the kids.
Anytime.
How were they?
Good.
No problems?
Nope. Oh, and I taught Noah his multiplication tables, and I've got Wendy reading Shakespeare.
At LaSalle Bank, we think more is precisely what you should expect. More responsiveness, more service, more convenience. In a word, more.
Hey, Billy.
Hi, Mr. Schmidt.
What are you doing in the bushes?
Oh, I was getting your newspaper.
My newspaper?
Yeah, I must have been off balance when I threw it and I totally missed the porch.
Oh.
I just didn't want you to have to go looking for it.
Thanks, Billy.
And with any luck, our philosophy will catch on everywhere. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. LaSalle Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Ow.
Song means we're back here on Windy City Radio. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Lennox the Intern.
And we're here with Lennox McGee's tip of the week.
And what a great tip it is, because Jim Bennett, who used to be on the radio with us, he actually has a company called Gayco.
Yep.
And they're doing a theater production called The Da Vinci Gayco.
Yes.
Which sounds hilarious.
The poster's amazing, too.
I haven't seen the poster. What's it
really good. It's like Leonardo da Vinci's sort of man, but it's like it's Jim and the other handsome guy he works with in a dress.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's brilliant. I mean, leave it to Jim Bennett and his creative folks to come up with something like that.
Well, the description says it's a hilarious sketch comedy, and it sounds really awesome. It's going to be playing at the theater building on Belmont, 1225 mm-hmm. West Belmont. It's going to be playing through July 8th, and it starts this Thursday, June 1st, at the Theater Building. And for tickets and for more information, you can go to Theater Building. That's theater, T-R-E, building, chicago.org, ticketmaster.com, and you can get tickets. It sounds like a really good time. Last year, I saw their production at Gecko, and it was hilarious. So I can only imagine this is going to be really funny.
What was the last one? The wedding? Something about the...
Actually, I saw it around Christmas. So it was like Christmas, like Marshall Field's going. Yeah, it was something crazy like that, but it was hilarious. Absolutely funny. So go check it out.
They always have a fun time. So that's at the Theater Building. Check out Jim Bennett's production of The Da Vinci Gay Code.
Yeah, and it starts Thursday, June 1st, and it's running through July 8th. And you can check out for more information, theaterbuildingchicago.org or ticketmaster.com.
So that's perfect if you got some folks coming into town for Pride.
Right, exactly.
Get them up some tickets.
The gay games, too. Yeah.
The gay games, absolutely. They're going to be doing a full run. So, folks, at this point, we're going to give away two pairs of tickets to the Pride Fest that's coming up June 9th and 10th in Milwaukee. They're going to have so many great people. They're going to have En Vogue. They're going to have Margaret Cho. They're going to have Berlin. They're going to have so many more luminous stars to Milwaukee's Pride Fest June 9th and 10th. We're going to give away two pairs of tickets to the Pride Fest. Give us a ring at 312-591-9254. That's 312-591-WCKG. We're going to take callers number 6 and callers number 12. Two pairs of tickets to the Pride Fest. Give us a ring now. 312-591-9254. That's 312-591-WCKG. And we'll be back in just a moment after this.
June 9th, 10th, and 11th on Milwaukee's Lakefront. Pridefest and Pridefest.com. Welcome En Vogue, DHT, Berlin, Martha Wash, Bow Wow Wow, and the world-famous comedian Margaret Cho.
I went on a gay cruise. 3,000 gay men on a ship, and everybody gotta be Kate Winslet.
En Vogue, DHT, Berlin, Martha Wash, Bow Wow Wow, and the world-famous comedian Margaret Cho. Brought to you by Potawatomi Bingo Casino and Miller Lite, the official beer of Pridefest. Bring your mind. Visit PrideFest.com now.
Diplomat Pharmacy introduces the HIV AIDS Care Pack. It puts the right dose at your fingertips. Each pill cup contains all the pills you need at no extra charge. Call Diplomat toll-free at 866-500-6500. That's 866-500-6500. Or check out DiplomatPharmacy.com for more info.
Hello, this is Andy Bell from Erasure, and I listen to Windy City Radio.
Are you ready? I hope you're ready. Are you ready? 'Cause I am. I'm ready to party, yes.
Yes.
Grab your coat, get your keys, 'cause whatever you're drinking, it's on me, it's on me.
Stay here if you want to, say what you want to, but I got a party, I needs me a party. Came here to get you, but I can't wait. And cut a rug up tonight. Oh. I found a place, yes,
where we could boogie.
Ooh.
Boogie the night.
Oh.
I found a place,
yes,
where we could boogie.
Ooh.
Boogie.
Oh.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Here on Windy City Radio, I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Lennox McGee. This music makes me want to dance.
Doesn't it make you want to dance?
It feels like I'm in the generator.
The tweet. Speaking of dance, dude, Wednesday nights at Spin. They came
now. Look at that, Peter Maverick at Spin.
DJ Peter Maverick at Spin on Wednesday nights.
And what kind of music is that, Peter?
Well, since you asked. On Wednesday nights, I'm going to change it up a little bit. It is dollar drink night, so people are ready to come out and party and do it. And usually I'm very underground house. And I'm still going to maintain my underground houseness. this, but we're going to make it a little more fun with some pop remixes, and you're going to hear Tweet like that. I'm going to switch it up at the end of the night. She's always a lot of fun. But what an, you know, we were talking about it being a big week for everything going on, and there was a lot of stuff happening in the entertainment world, but the marriage amendment was voted out of the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about
so
that.
So it's coming up that on the 5th, they're actually going to make the big decision for the Marriage Protection Amendment, which will read, if it passes, marriage in the United States shall consist only of the union of a man and a woman.
Those bastards.
I know. I'm so distraught that for so long, marriage in general, not even talking about GLBT people having the chance to marriage, but marriage in general has been the domain of the state. It has not really been the domain of the feds.
Right, exactly.
And now this will really slam, it's going to slam everybody. It's not just going to slam us. It's going to make things even more difficult for marriage in general. So I'm hoping that that it's going to crash and burn.
I hope so too. And you know, I think it's not going to really pass at all because under the law, there's equal protection of the laws. And
exactly.
You know, you can't really go past that. But, you know, that's really sucks. That's sad.
It does. I was poking around online today, as I love to do, to poke around and read the news. See, I don't really read newspapers. I mean, I read the Windy City Times, honestly, but I really don't read newspapers very often because I always read them online.
Right, because that's what I do. Yeah, that's what I do too.
Yeah, and it's so much. It means that I don't have to like click on the bad headlines.
I know.
Right, because I'm sort of sensitive in this weird way about news that if there were like 4 people killed, I don't want to read that.
Really?
Like if I see accident in a bus, I just go to the other page. I was like, oh, let's talk about butterflies and flowers today. I don't like seeing all that. I don't like seeing all that negative news. But I've been so amazed lately at how many columnists are saying that there's a jerk running our country.
Oh my God.
So many people are finally starting to say that it really is an idiot running this
country. Both Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah,
which
everybody.
Is really funny.
What was the last one I heard? 23%?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a scary, scary number saying that, 23% approval rating. That's not okay.
That is crazy.
That's not okay.
That's the lowest it's ever been for a president, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And I keep feeling like there's something that a bunch of people are just missing. Because why are there 23% who think it's okay
right.
for him to be there? You know, it makes me really question the judgment. I mean, he didn't win. They rigged those machines.
He totally didn't win.
There were 6 million votes that weren't out there. So no, I'm not going to support him. I'm not going to sit back and just support him. That's not enough. It's definitely not enough.
And even outside of gay issues, the whole immigration thing and trying to, you know, kick immigrants out after being here for several years. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's actually really funny how it just comes up all of a sudden.
Well, yeah.
In the midst of his poll numbers being down and he needs to, get that Republican vote again or whatever.
Exactly. There's people still being killed in the Middle East.
Exactly.
Let's just not talk about it. Let's talk about the problems that we have had in this country traditionally for many, many, many years.
Right.
And let's just vault them at the forefront. Not to downplay them because they are serious issues.
Definitely.
Do not get me wrong. I'm not downplaying the whole immigrant rice issue at all, but it's a total wag the dog trick. It's really just sort of leading the pony, and I'm so enthralled to see that people are really waking up
and responding too
very quickly, very very fast. You know, I was listening to some friends of mine who do a podcast. I was actually listening to Wanda Wisdom and to Madge Weinstein, and they were talking about, you know, what was it, 9 million people marched to the immigration march, and got out
huge.
There and did it. And what if we did it as the queer community? What if we actually got out there and did our march? There would be millions of us out
millions.
There too
yeah.
doing it. And, you know, we're going into Pride Month, and I have such a fond spot in my heart for this community and for what I do. I mean, I'm very blessed to be able to work here and do what I do here and to work with the wonderful people I work with. But I think what people tend to forget is that at one point, and I actually think it still should be, this wasn't a pride parade. It was a demonstration. It was civil disobedience. It was a march.
Right.
You know, I see a lot of these young kids out there, and they're ready to wear their thong and wave their, you know, pink triangle flag and really be proud of who they are. And they should be proud of who they are. But I think we as gay people really need to reflect on our history and really respect where we came from. And especially in Chicago, the history was that it was a march. It wasn't a, oh, look at me, look at how beautiful my abs are and how big my arms are.
Right.
It was actually people feeling upset about what was going on and how we were being treated. And even more, you know, now the fact that they're trying to say that marriage is only a man and a woman, we really need to be vocal out there. And this whole concept of podcasting is giving voices to the voiceless. It really is.
Do you think the young people are missing a message now for the Pride parades?
I think it's easier not to listen to the message. Uh-huh. I think it's still there, but I think it's easier not to listen to it. I think it's easier to just go out and be fabulous and just be super gay that day and not have to think about it, because it's all around us. There are places we can go. There's queer theory classes in colleges now. There's gay club associations in schools. Right. I mean, I think kids, and I say kids very loosely because to me, it's not necessarily an age thing, right? There's some kids out there that are 40 years old that just came out of the closet. So I think that people who are new to the community, who are just becoming a part of the community, it's really important that you do your homework and you get out there and you understand why Stonewall happened. Why do we celebrate Pride in this month? What really is going on there? It's not about taking your shirt off and being fabulous.
Definitely not.
It really is not. And it makes me a little sad when I see that people sometimes miss that on Pride. But
it's so funny you say that, because I remember graduating from high school and mm-hmm. going to my first Pride parade and just thinking about the whole glamorous part of being out and just being free and not thinking about the whole, like, you know, the back history of it and how people have died for us to march.
So
it's funny, like, you really don't know the history until, like, later on, like, till recently, actually. Like, I didn't realize about Stonewall or anything like that, because no one really educated us.
And how did it start? You know, Judy died. That's how the riots started.
Right, exactly.
You know, there would be Judy Garland. I'm saying that like, you know, like it's my sister Judy. My mother's name is actually Judy, though. But you know, Judy died, and then there was a lot of tension.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back was a raid, and everything really flamed up into that. But I'm amazed at how many people don't know the history there, and that's something that I personally am going to make it my goal to help educate as many people as I can, because I think, like last year, my theme for Pride was do your homework. That's what I kept telling people. Get out there and do your homework. Take 2 hours, do your homework. Go online. We all know how to use Google.
Right.
Type in, you know, gay history and see what you come up with. Type in the Stonewall riots and pay attention. But it's so important that you backtrack, because I understand it takes a lot to come out of the closet, and it's a beautiful thing to come out, and it's a beautiful thing to join our community. But it's not all pretty.
Definitely
it's not all Will and Grace. It's not all. Yes, that was a diss at Will and Grace, because I actually don't like that show. I have a lot of problems with the way that we're portrayed out there, and the things that they do to us. But do your history. It's not just that. There is so much more to us. We have so many dimensions out there. So
definitely, it wasn't until I learned about Harvey Milk, which I got the whole like genesis of what where it all began and how it all. How it all makes sense now.
And didn't it, I mean, I remember when I was first sort of getting my legs in high school, because I in 1992 I started my whole process coming out. So it was still a risky time. People were not saying gay on the television unless they were talking about the gay white mans who had the HIV and AIDS and what was going on there. There was a lot of still talk about that, but you would never someone in the White House, Mary Cheney, have, you know, talk about being a lesbian. Oh my God, that would never would have come up.
Yeah,
it really wouldn't. And it was, it's so refreshing to me to hear these things now and to have the opportunity to be here on the radio, on a queer radio hour, to talk about these issues. To really
give issues,
it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. When you first started learning about it, what did it do to you? How did it hit you?
It was just exhilarating, like, especially since after getting this internship and coming, it's just been a full circle. It's like, mm-hmm. I started out not knowing anything from high school, coming out in high school and still being like openly and like just being happy to be gay, but not really knowing what to be happy about being gay about.
Right.
But just like, you know, after growing and learning and going through college and just understanding the whole like genesis of everything, it just it all makes sense, and it just comes back to me now being on the radio to talk about queer issues and gay issues and how it affects me. It's just like it's weird.
Yeah, but it's a good weird.
It is a good weird. It is a good weird, because you kind of finally know who you are in a sense, so and how you've evolved.
Right.
Or how your community evolved, in a sense.
Right, exactly, and how it came up. I mean, I'm born and raised in Chicago. I knew what was going on in Lakeview as far back as I can remember. I was familiar with the neighborhood, at least, when I was much younger. But the transformation that even that neighborhood has seen in the last 15 years is amazing. I mean, the upswing in property and everything going on there. There was a time when you just didn't want to hang out in that neighborhood because it was shady.
Really?
It really was. We used to sit at this little cafe called Scenes, which is where Caesars is right now at Clark and Belmont. I'm just over in there. And there was a lot of homeless youth at the time. There still are. It's not as bad as it was, though. It was kind of a dangerous neighborhood back in the day. And now it's become this beautiful, vibrant, gorgeous community. And still, anytime tourists come to Chicago and they walk around that neighborhood, they're like, wow, I like your gay neighborhood. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You have all these different bars. You have all these different flavors. You have all this different, vibrant culture going on. And we're not separated. We're not segregated. We're embedded in everything because Wrigley Definitely. Field is right there and we have this huge community. You know, I mean, and the city has embraced us in so many big ways. So I think just like you said, the community has developed and the community is changing. So I don't know.
Even
I
on the south side too, the community has totally changed. Totally
everything.
Well, you couldn't even walk around with a flag. Now you can and still have some, like, you know, the person at the bus stop still, like, you know, who's gay, who's right behind you. It's weird how it's totally changed to a wholly different Chicago, really, me anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, I think for everybody, I think that the fact that we have queer publications out there, we have queer publications that regularly come out, and we have people who support us in advertising and a readership and all the above, it's so amazingly important that we do a little bit of our own history.
It speaks volumes. It does.
It really does. So I don't know. I guess maybe in preparation for Pride. Maybe my thing is do your homework before Pride Month begins this year.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You've got the day off tomorrow. You're not working.
Just Google it.
Just Google it. Just sit down and take an hour. And I think you'll be amazed at, you know, I love hearing stories about people who grew up in those times. And sadly, we've lost a lot of them to the passage of time and other
Definitely.
Factors, obviously, the HIV and AIDS crisis, which is still going on. It's only getting worse. It's not going to get better. But I think that often I go online and I just dig around and I you know, dig around for things about my past and just like throw the word queer in there, throw the word gay in there. And I'm amazed that there are so many bloggers and so many people with voices now sharing their stories about coming out. And maybe they're not sharing them for any other reason other than just to say them and have them documented.
Right.
But the internet has become such a powerful way that we all can talk.
It's become therapy for a lot of us.
Really? My blog is the biggest therapist that
Seriously.
I have. Let me tell you, radiopeter.com.
Nice plug.
Yeah, you know, but truly, it's a way for you to let it out. And in the podcasting world, there are so many people, especially in the queer community, coming out, and they now have a voice. They're sitting down at their computer with a microphone, and they're creating something.
They just let it out. Yeah.
You and I are blessed to be here,
right,
to have this studio, to be doing what we're doing here on the airwaves and to be coming out into all of you listeners to be able to share what we have with you. But we're not the only ones now.
Right.
There's really all this wonderful, wonderful things happening. We had Richard Bluestein on, who also has his show, yeastradio.com. He also created qpotter.org, which is just a wonderful place where you can go and you can find other queer casters talking about their
That's
lives.
Awesome. That is cool.
And building communities. The other interesting thing I heard Richard and Wanda Wisdom talking about is we're building communities outside of the bar culture.
Wow.
You know, because
which is big, yeah.
Right. It's huge. I mean, traditionally we're also, girl, let's go have a drink. Let's go, you know, we're so tied to having this quote unquote monoculture in the clubs. But yet on the flip side of it, we can really create these wonderful things out on the internet, and you don't maybe you don't go to the bars. Maybe you need to not go there for whatever reason, or you just don't like it.
Right.
That's fine too. But now to be able to find these queer communities everywhere else, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about you, but coming up, my thing was the ultimate one was to be able to be 21 and go in the clubs.
Yeah, and I was exactly. And now that I'm over 21, I'm like, I don't want to go to the clubs anymore.
Yeah, right. I mean, I love now being on the service providing side.
Exactly.
Like being a consumer of club life was fun for a minute.
Right.
You know,
it's
but
very
now,
boring.
Right now I'm fortunate that I'm blessed. Again, I'm so... I know Wanda's show is called Lucky Bitch Radio, but I think mine should be. Because I'm pretty damn lucky, let me tell you. But to be able to be on the producing side, to be able to help people through that experience and do it, I think on the other side is really awesome. It's awesome.
It's admirable, too.
Well, I hope so.
It's admirable.
I hope so. But to be able to go online and find other communities that are right there with you, that's amazing to be able to hear other people's voices. And the flip side of that completely applies to everybody listening to this show. Gay, straight, pink, blue, green, purple, orange, red, yellow. I don't care who you are. It's up to us to make our own history here. I mean, the media it's a delicate balance these days, right?
Right.
It's so controlled and contrived, but it really is up to us to, you know, sit down with a microphone, record yourself, and just talk.
Right.
You don't have to have a message. You don't have to have anything. Just talk. Just document. Record. Get out there and blog. Express your distaste at the man who's running this country. Go ahead. It's all right. If you don't like programs like Will and Grace, say that. It's all right.
I love Will and Grace.
No, that's okay. I don't hate it.
You hate Jack or the way he's portrayed or the way the gays are portrayed? Or
there aren't enough gay people. There aren't enough gay actors on that show.
Really?
There aren't enough.
Would you like the whole cast to be gay?
Sure. I want the whole cast to be gay. I'm written by gay people, produced by gay people, gay cameramen, gay everything. Because we're there. We're just not at the front of it.
Uh-huh.
And I think we need to step up our game and we need to say, okay, it's time for us to make the rules. It's time for us to do things. What was that network the other day who wouldn't play the ejector seat commercial because it was a little too racy for them?
What was that?
Was that Logo?
Was that Logo? I think it was.
It was Logo.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable.
That is unacceptable.
That's unacceptable. You are a queer network. Get out there and do it. So yes, I want all the actors to be. I didn't like Brokeback Mountain. I want all the actors should have been gay. They should have been gay. They should have been up there. Beautiful, beautiful point. And I love this film, Trans America, but I hated it because...
It's at home. I want to watch it. It's horrible? You hate it?
The movie was good, but how it came to pass was really terrible. I mean, there was a trans actress slated to play that part, and she was bumped off
because she wasn't famous
enough. A lot of people don't know that, and it's important that
that's
you
horrible.
Get online and you find these things out because they're really
sucks.
Out there.
That really sucks.
It really sucks. It really sucks. And I'm sure for her, it's a bittersweet memory paying attention to all the press that this movie has gotten and everything like that. And maybe it's true. Maybe I wouldn't have heard of it if there wasn't a big name playing. But the flip side is we should have those opportunities as part of the queer community. And I love that word queer. I know some people don't identify with it, but I do. I love it. Wow, this has just turned into the Peter's Opinion Show today. And folks, just to tell you how much of an opinionated diva I am, I'm going to be judging at the semifinals at Sidetrack on June 3rd.
And he has some opinions for
you. I have something to tell you. I will part my hair and wear my black t-shirt like Simon Cowell because the semifinals are coming up. We're going to have 25 great contestants really doing it. 21 yeah. great contestants doing it. And come support them. This is an awesome event.
It's so much fun.
It is. I mean, the regular Idol is over. You ain't got to stay home. Right. Come out and see us. You can come out and party with us. Summertime, Sidetrack is a beautiful venue. The main room is smoke-free, so you don't have to be worried about stinking.
Right.
And come out and hang out with us and see us and hear my Nelly behind talk on the... Make fun of people, basically. Because if you can't sing, I'm totally going to tell you. On the third.
He will.
I'm totally going to tell you. I'm going to let you have it. That's just how I feel. So, and Lennox, you'll be there as well.
I will hang
out with us so you can see both of us boys and say, you know what? I started my own podcast. Or
exactly.
You know what? I did a little bit of history. I would love for someone to come up and say, you know what? I actually went online and I learned what Stonewall was and what happened there. So we'll have to do that. We'll have to do that for the WindyCityQueerCast.com. We'll have to do that on the show. Put together our gay education kit.
Yeah.
Like, you should have this, and this stamp on your gay card. You really should. I mean, because it's important. We're a community. We have to share with each other.
Share the stories, pass it along.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about. So, folks, I think that's going to do it for us.
Is that all, Peter?
That's
I'm
all.
Keep going.
I know. I want to make it the Peter Show, but they won't let me. RadioPeter.com. Check it out there. I'll talk to you. Well, here we go. We're going to bring in a little Charlotte Church to take us out. Folks, we want to say thank you so much to the Maiderville studio folks, to our board op, Josh, this evening. Thank you, baby. To Lennox.
Thank you for having me.
I love it. Our producer, Kathleen Elm, Amy Matheny, my Mama Matheny. I love her so much. She's going to be back with us next week, my lesbian lover. And folks, listen to our past shows and our unique podcast at WindyCityQueerCast.com. And a special thanks to all of our advertisers. I'm serious, folks. Please support them as they support us.
Please
do. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
Tune in next week at 10 p.m. for Windy City Radio, the voice of the queer community, here on WCKG.
And we're also sponsored by American Airlines, offering the GLBT vacation packages at aavacations.com/rainbow. And of course, LaSalle Bank, making more possible. That's our show this week. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you soon here on WCKG 105.9 Free FM.
Good night, everybody.
My world slipping under the table. I like the sound of your hands.
The preceding program was paid for by Carolina Media, whose opinions and viewpoints are solely their own and do not reflect those of WCKG, its management, staff, or CBS Radio.
Get this podcast and more great ones like it on the High Performance Podcast Delivery Network from Podshow and Limelight Networks.
Love it.